Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out the home group meeting again. And it's always good to see Miss Betty. She came in, and it's always good to see her. We love her very much. She's very special to us. Amen. I'd just like to go ahead and get into what I had to say. This is part 7 of a 9-part teaching on the pathway to the heart of the Father prayer. And so what I'd like to do, I'd like to look at 3 important points that we looked at last week. And these points are very critical, not only to prayer, but also in our Christian living. And that first point is, the more we surrender in our lives, the more the work of God is done in our lives. I'm going to say that again. The more we surrender to God in our lives, the more of the work of God is done in our lives. Because there's a process that happens, and as we come to the Lord in salvation, there is a dedication that we must have in our lives to, you know, continue on in the things of the Lord. And that dedication, the longer we go in that dedication, that will lead us ultimately to a surrender. There's a big difference between dedication and surrender. Anyone who is married, they will tell you it's one thing to be dedicated to their spouse, but it is something totally different and something greater when you have totally surrendered to your spouse. And that's what the Lord is looking for in our life. He's looking for a dedication, but He wants that dedication to go on to a greater surrender. And the more we can surrender to the Lord in our life, the more the work of God will be in our life. That's a very, very important point. And the second point is, God often teaches us to wait through failure and losses. Now, no one likes to lose, or no one likes failure, and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of like something that the world teaches us, you know, you're not a loser, you know, so forth and so on. But God will often take a loss or failure and use that in our life to teach us how to wait, how to be patient. Because patient, the Bible says that patient has its perfect work. And so there will not be that perfect work that God wants to do in our life without any patience. There's always, always, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a period of patient waiting. And that patient waiting is developing us as we experience loss and failure. The Christian experience often is full of loss, because God measures our gain in Him not by what we can add to us, but what we can subtract from us. So God measures our gain in Him by what we lose. Because when we lose things of ourselves, when we lose things of the world, then that makes room now in our life for more things of God. And often He uses, as I said, failure and loss to develop that patient waiting in our life. And the third point is, the more we can be stripped by God of the world and ourselves, the more of God we can have. The condition for having God is not having ourself in the world. And that's our choice. We can allow God just to strip us of our worldly understanding, our worldly ease, the things we go after. And we can allow God to strip us of ourselves. And the more we can do that, the more we allow God to work in our life and strip the world from us and strip our selfishness and our self-seeking and all of those selfish things around us, the more of God that we can have in our life. Those 3 points are very, very important. We covered those a little more in detail last month. And if you want, you know, more of those details, you can go out to the internet, and you go to our website, and go to home group meeting, and look up what we talked about in January. Amen. Tonight I'd like to talk about an interesting word, and it's called beseech. Beseech. And that's spelled B-E-S-E-E-C-H. And the word beseech is one of the 6 ways that prayer is translated. Prayer, again, is always direct address with the Father, but prayer is also translated comforter. It's also translated beseech. And the word beseech is one who pleads another cause, or to convince, or to persuade, and also to convict of sin. But most commonly, the word beseech here means to convince or to persuade. In Mark 1:40, it's a wonderful story of this leper. And this leper came to Jesus, and the leper was attempting to persuade. He was beseeching Jesus. He wasn't praying to him, but he was beseeching Jesus to heal him. And now the leper knew Jesus could heal him. That's a very, very important point. And we look at, if you look at the story in detail, the leper knew Jesus could heal him because he's heard and he saw. He was totally convinced. He was totally convinced Jesus could, but he was not convinced Jesus would heal him. He was convinced that Jesus could heal him, but he was not totally convinced that Jesus would heal him. We often know God can do things in our lives. We know God is God and we're not, and he can do anything he wants to. But when things don't happen the way that we kind of expect it to happen, then we start questioning not if God can do that, but will he want to do it? And that was the question that the leper asked Jesus. He said, "Will you heal me?" And Jesus says, "Yes," and "go heal yourself," and so forth. Well, that's the same way in our life. His faith and his approach was in his ability of Jesus to heal him. Our faith is easily put in God's ability. Amen? Our faith is easily put in God's ability, because God is God and he can do anything. There's no question about the ability of God. God can do anything that he wants to do. Nothing in God should amaze us. Nothing in God is impossible, because God can do anything. But can we put our faith in God's willingness to do something right now is the question. I'm going to let that thought sink in a little bit, because there's a big difference between God's ability and can we put our faith in God's willingness to do something right now is the question. We must put our faith in God's willingness to heal us, not in his ability. Because God can do it. This is an understanding that we must have, that God can do anything. He's God. He can heal us, or he doesn't have to heal us. That's not the issue. The issue is, and where our faith needs to be in, is in God's willingness to heal us and not his ability. So God wants to move us in alignment with what he wants rather than what his ability is. We cannot follow his ability. It is just so vast. But his will for our lives, we can actually follow in that experience, and the ability of God as it relates to us and not someone else. Amen? What does God want? What does he want from us? What does he want from us to do? Our faith, now listen to this, our faith must be in his will for our lives, not in what we see or hear, even in others' lives. Oftentimes you hear about a testimony. That's a wonderful testimony, brother. And all that, God healed this person right about the wheelchair. And we sit there and all of a sudden, we expect our faith to get strong. Well, our faith does not need to be in somebody else's testimony. Our faith needs to be in not what we hear or what we see, but our faith needs to be in, is it his will for us to be healed? Or is it his will for whatever we're praying for? Oftentimes many Christians they have their faith in other people's situations and other people's lives. And then when it comes to them, well, they have no faith because they haven't heard God speak to them, right? Faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we cannot look at someone else's victory and someone else's, coming out of the wheelchair or whatever. We must not have our faith in that. We must have our faith in God going to heal us? Amen. The leper was not sure of Jesus' will. He wasn't. He was not sure. He knew Jesus could do it. He knew he could, because he heard it and he seen it. And, you know, his faith was in, you know, he was in, you know, all the things that he heard and he seen. But he wasn't convinced. He wasn't convinced. He, you know, but still he pressed in prayer. And that's all we really need to do in God also, is hear, "I will." And then we know exactly how to move and exactly what to do and how to act. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing." And I like the Greek, Romans 10:17 in the King James Version says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And a lot of people think that that is talking about going to church and hearing preaching or something like that. But I tell you, that is not the truth, because many, many people on Sunday morning will go to church. Many, many Christians will go to church and they're sit there and they're hear a sermon or even a message from the Lord, and they'll get up and they'll leave and they will have no faith, because that is not what Paul was talking about in Romans there. And it's better said in the Greek version of Romans 10:17, and that is, "Faith cometh by hearing a word from God." Because when we hear a word from God, then we know that God will do what He said He's going to do. Faith cometh by hearing. The leper said, "Will you heal me?" And Jesus says, He spoke a word to him. "Yes, I will." Or, "I will." I mean, that's what He spoke. And it, you know, and it happened. That's why our faith need not to be in you know, other people's victories and, you know, and God's ability and God's power, but it needs to be in that word that is spoken to us. If God gives us the word, then we can move in that knowing we are in the will of God. Let me say that again. If God gives us a word, then we are able to move in that word knowing we are in God's will. Though a knowing faith comes with the Word from God. A knowing faith comes from the Word of God. Often God's will is very confusing to a lot of people. And they really labor in trying to figure out what God's will is. I remember Charles Hanna was talking about that one time. And he really kind of made it really simple for me. And when we were talking about that, he said, "David, wherever I find myself, as long as I am trying in the best of my ability and in my heart, doing what I feel God wants me to do, then I'm in the will of God." Because God is not going to try to set us up. He's not going to try to trip us up or move us out. "Wherever I find myself, whatever I find myself doing, then I am in the will of God. As long as I'm not over in some kind of overt sin or something like that. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm doing for the Lord, that is the will of God." And if we can rest in that, then we won't be all upset. We won't be trying to find all of these things. Oftentimes we don't know about the will of God. So we have trouble looking for the will of God. If God doesn't tell us, you know, if He doesn't tell us, and we must not try to guess and follow after that guessing, or we're going to fall into a ditch. Many Christians operate in guessing what God's will is. Let me say that again. That is critical. I have known many Christians, and I ask them, "Well, is this the will of God for your life?" And they go, "Well, I don't know." And so what they do is they go guessing. You know, I think it is, or I'm going to try it out, but that's not the way God operates, because God speaks to us. He lets you know. He lets you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you have an ear and a heart for Him, what God wants you to be doing. Many Christians operate in guessing what God wants and not knowing, of course, by hearing from God, what God wants. In Matthew 7:7, it's a really misunderstood run of verses where it talks about knocking and seeking and if you look at that, and you understand what Jesus was saying there, it will give you a bigger understanding of and the right intention of what Jesus was saying. It was saying, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. And so a lot of people say, well, then you've got to keep asking and you've got to keep seeking and you've got to keep knocking. But that's not what Jesus was saying there. Jesus was saying, if you ask, it's going to be given to you. If you ask, it's going to be given to you. If you seek, you're going to find something. If you ask for something, something's going to be given to you. If you seek, if you keep seeking, you're looking here, and you're looking here, and you're looking over here, and you don't know if that's God's will, but you're looking, and you're seeking, and you're knocking. If it's God's will, God's going to tell you what His will is. So you don't have to seek, and you don't have to knock, and you don't have to ask for all that stuff. Because if you ask somebody for something, they're going to give you something. If you seek, you're going to find something. If you knock, if you keep knocking and knocking and knocking, a door will open unto you. But it may not be what God wants. If God wants you to do something, He will let you know. If you have an ear for Him, if you have an ear to hear Him speak, then He will go ahead and He will let you know. You don't have to ask. You don't have to seek. You don't have to knock. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, be careful. If you ask, you're going to get something. If you seek, you're going to find something. If you knock, it's going to be open unto you. So, and he goes on and he says, what kind of father am I if my son asks me for a fish and I give him a scorpion? So that's what Jesus was saying. That was a warning. Not to go asking and seeking and knocking and all that good stuff. To be careful there. And we have to allow God to speak to us. We have to allow God hear what God wants. And then, so there'll be no seeking and knocking, you know. When we're trying to figure out what God's will is, and we're scrambling here, and we're trying to, we get all messed up, you know. And we just need to relax. We just need to hear from God and let Him speak to us. And then whatever we feel God is saying to us, whatever we feel God is saying, then we just need to move in that. We just need to align with what we want up in God. And then move in that. And then wherever we find ourselves, as we're doing what we feel God wants us to do, that will be God's will for our life. That's so simple. That takes the pressure off of us. We don't have to try to figure this out and figure that out. God will just go ahead and tell us, and then we'll just move in that. We just need to relax and allow God to speak to us. Also, oftentimes, we get in trouble seeking after God's will then. God, should I do this or should I do that? I don't know about you, but that's been me. That's my words there. I mean, I don't know how many times I said, God, should I do this or should I do that? God is the boss. We need to allow God to call the shots and not ask Him just to move in what He is giving at us. The more we can relax, the more we will hear God's voice in our life. Wow. Now that was worth coming out tonight. And those that are listening, that was worth coming out to the internet, to listen to. The more we can relax, the more we can hear God's voice. You know, people say, well, God is not speaking. Well, I beg your pardon. God is always speaking. He really is. It's just we are not hearing. Because oftentimes we're so flustered and we're so upset and we're so charged up and we're knocking and seeking and doing all of these things, all of these religious things. And all we really have to do is just relax and just spend some time with the Lord and just let Him speak to us. God is God and we are not. And that is the number one truth that we always remember. And we just need to just relax and allow God just to speak to us so we know what He's doing. As we begin this wondrous Christian walk, that we are always after something. And that is the key of receiving, you know. So people say, okay, so I've come to the Lord, I'm salvation, and now the Lord is going to give you all of these things. And so, even subconsciously, we're after this key of receiving. And the key is not, is he able, but is he willing? That is the key of receiving. The key is not, is he able? Of course he's able. But the key is he willing? And if we do not get the answer, we're going to go looking for it. Again, Matthew 7:7, knocking and seeking and all of this stuff. We just need to relax and allow God to speak to us and allow that key of receiving to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know a lot of Christians are out there that are just frustrated and just flustered, and that's not the way God has it, you know? We just need to relax and allow Him to speak to us. You know, then we can, you know, because if we don't hear, then we get, you know, all in a tether, and we get all messed up, and then when we get all messed up, then we cannot receive the things that God has for our life. The less we are concerned about receiving, we can find God's will for our lives. Oftentimes we're trying to get this and get that and get this will and find this out and I got to find out what God wants here and we just get overboard and all that. We just need to relax and just receive from God in that. The more we can relax also, the more we can be a giver. Because if our focus is receiving, something from God, then our focus will not be in giving to God and to others. And we just need to learn how to relax and just allow God just to give to us the things that He wants to give us, and then so that we can give away. We should not want to receive anything from God. Isn't that amazing? We shouldn't want to receive anything from God. Do you know God can do a lot with even without our money? We cannot eat money or we cannot wear it. Many think God is tied to our money. Oftentimes God will link Himself with our money for us to give and help spread the gospel in order to get from our heart the habitual giving and sacrifice He wants. Our focus should always be in giving and not receiving. Our focus should always be on giving and not receiving. Receiving from God should not be a big part of our approach to God. Let me say that again. Receiving from God should not be a big part of our approach to God. So I'm going to serve God so that I get. I'm going to serve God so that He can give me power, and He can give me money, or He can give me understanding, or He can give me wisdom, or He can give me whatever, so I'm going to serve God so I can get all of these things. Well, that is not a correct function or, a correct understanding in God. We should serve the Lord so that we can give things. God, give me things so that I can give those away. Our focus should always be on giving and not receiving. The more that we can give, the more God can give to us. And that's the way that works, Whatever you want, you must give away. If you want love, then you must give love away. If you want joy and peace and understanding and long-suffering and mercy, these are things that you should always give away. People that are really hung up on money, those who want money, well, you have to give that away. But the more we can give, the more God can give to us. Giving should be one of the primary reasons why we serve the Lord, and not to receive from the Lord. Yeah, receive the Holy Spirit, and receive this, and receive this. And no. All you have to do is just hear from God, let Him speak to you, and then your heart condition should be on giving, and God will give you everything that you need. God will give us whatever He wills. and that will be enough. That will be sufficient. He is able to give us 2,000 Deutschmarks a month if he wants. He is able, but we must move in the will of God, and we will see His sufficiency. We will never get a better view of God's faithfulness than from the bottom of a barrel. That's a wonderful statement, but I will tell you, not too many people want to see the bottom of the barrel. But at the bottom of the barrel, when you're laying there looking up, then you're seeing God being sufficient and supplying all of your need, then you will definitely come into a true understanding of how God is our provider. Do not worry about hard times. We will be able to see God better than in good times. If people say, well, in good times I can really see the Lord. Well, I will tell you, if you can see the Lord in good times, then I promise you, you will be able to see the Lord in bad times 10 times better. Because there's something about a good smiting from God, or there's something about a hard time coming into our life, it really brings us to our knees, and it really brings God into a greater focus into our life. It's kind of funny how when God really brings us into a narrow place and a straight place in our life, all of the little, small little things that we really worry about, they seem to kind of disappear, you know? All the little things that, you know, that kind of occupy our time and so forth, all of those things disappear. And then suddenly we just start seeking God in a greater way. We say, well, oh, wait a minute, you know, I really need this worked out of my life, and so I need to push into God here and gotta be careful. Even in doing that. Amen. Whatever God gives to us, whatever God gives to us, I can't read my notes here. Whatever God gives to us should be all that we want. That's right. Thank you very much. Whatever God gives to us should be all that we want. If we really want to know God, then we will have to know tough times. And that is no mistake. If we really, ever really want to come to know God in a personal way, in an intimate way, we will know Him through tough times. All you have to do is ask anybody in the Bible. Anybody that ever amounted to anybody, to anything in the Bible, always went through very, very difficult times. People say, I want to have the revelation of Paul. Well, are you willing to be shipwrecked? Are you willing to be stoned? Are you willing to be, you know, left for dead 3 times? You know, famine. I mean, Paul's life was just nothing but tough times. But out of that tough times, he had a tremendous revelation of God that even the original, you know, the original apostles have never had. Peter, James, and John. None of those, you know, the apostles ever had the revelation that Paul had. And Paul got that revelation not because he was Paul, but because he went through some very, very difficult times in his life. And God, it really worked in his life. We must not get upset as he does his will in us. Let me say that again. We must not get upset as God does his will in us. Many things Satan has attacked us. Then they are in the will of God. But Satan has nothing to do with it. We are just walking in the will of God to know Him and see Him. Oh, that He may show Himself to us. You know, Satan gets blamed for a lot of things that God does in our lives. God is not above taking us and breaking us and molding us and conforming us and breaking us and molding us. And a lot of Christians would swear up and down, Satan's doing that. But it's not, it's God. God is not above bringing a sickness on us or an area in our life that will drop us to our knees. God is a loving God, and He does that not because He wants to be cruel or mean, but He'll do that so that you know, we will see, you know, I mean, our need. One of the next articles I will be writing will be on a good smiting. And there are 3 times in my life that I know that God has smitten me. I have been smitten by God. And I will tell you, that is a tremendous revelation. And I hope you join the article when you read it, but I will tell you, that is a time that we will really see God, and we will have a greater revelation of who God is to us. But Satan gets blamed for a lot of these things. Amen. We best see God in tough times and narrow places. As I said, a good smiting. I will tell you, a good smiting will carry us a long ways. Now, I'm really kind of in the 26th chapter, I think, of Deuteronomy. There's like twice as many curses as there is blessings, you know. And I've often wondered about that. Why would there be twice as many curses, than there are blessings? You know, I mean, I would figure God wants to bless us; He doesn't want to curse us. Well, in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, there's twice as many curses. And if you really think about it, when's the last time a good blessing has really moved you closer to God? It has. A good blessing, usually what happens is you have a hard time getting your head through the door, and your head gets really big or whatever. But I will tell you, a good cursing by God will really wake you up and will really, help you. It's just help you to move forward in God. Oftentimes we can approach God and not knowing what His will is. But knowing God can come across if He wants to, and we move in it, and sometimes we hit God's will. But most often, this is when we're guessing, but most often we miss it. Most people can't guess what God's going to do. But sometimes people can kind of hit it. But sometimes we hit it and God says, "I will." And we get so tickled and we get so blessed. If this becomes a pattern or a habit, then we get all bent out of shape when it does not work again. And so this is the big danger. This is the big danger in guessing, I guess this might be God's will, and they do something and some good things happen and they get all tickled and stuff. And so the next time they come to this situation, then they try it again. And if it doesn't work, then people get all upset. So we must not. We must not develop this pattern and this habit, because when it doesn't work out, then we get all upset. We must never get used to God providing one way or another. We must never, ever get used to God providing this way or that way. God can, God can provide any way that He wants to. God can give us whatever He wants to. God is God and we are not. And so our focus should be not on the receiving as much as on the giving. So we must never get used to God providing one way or another. He is God and He can do anything that He wants. There is no rules. There is no rules or format in God. God is, it is His word and it His will. It is His will. It is very, very important for us to understand that God can do whatever He wants to do in our lives. God has created us for His good pleasure. His good pleasure. We are created for His good pleasure. And when it comes for us working in His will, we just need to relax. We do not need to be out here beseeching Him and trying to convince and into all of those things. We just need to relax and allow God to work into our lives and allow God to use us the way that He wants to use it. We don't need to be over there seeking and knocking and doing all of those things, because all that does, that just frustrates us, and we just need to relax and just go along for the ride and just allow Him to, work into our lives. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, for this teaching, Father. Lord, I would ask that you would just, Lord, just everybody that's listening, Father, Lord God, right now, and listening on the internet and such, Father, Lord God, that they would just learn to relax in you, Father, Lord God, and not be out there concerned, Father, Lord God, and looking to your ability, Father, Lord, because your ability is vast, and Lord, we need to be looking to your will, Father, Lord. Will you do that, Father? And Lord, we do that by just relaxing, Father, Lord, just relaxing and allowing you to speak to us, Father. Lord, I would ask you, Father, Lord, those that need to hear from you, Father, Lord God, that you will just still the hearts and their minds, Father, Lord, the people, and Lord, just let them hear, Father, Lord God. Let them hear clearly from you that they know that you spoke to them, Father. And wherever they find themselves and whatever they're doing, Father, Lord, they know they'll be convinced, Father, Lord God. And they'll be persuaded, Father, Lord God, that they are in your will and doing what you want them to do. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, just bless this word, Father, Lord God. Just minister to with hearts and lives, and we just thank you and we praise you. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.